Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here. Getaway Friday, November 21st, 2025. 13 and a half minutes past the hour. It is a Getaway Friday, 1 week away from the busiest shopping day of the year, and 6 days away from Thanksgiving. My goodness. Well, phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz. We can discuss whatever is on your mind on this rainy, damp kind of a Friday morning. And it'll be less hostile this hour. Maybe.
That's good.
Yeah. I think you came in a little hot-blooded this morning on this Friday.
Oh, no. I wasn't awake. And then, you see, you had me arguing.
Well, but I'm not... See, what I was confused about was... That wasn't even the question.
I still don't know what the question was.
Where do you think this money's going to come from? $5 million in 6 weeks.
Oh, yes. Well, I do remember that question now, yes. I don't know the budget. So, I don't know. I'd have to... I mean, you'd have to... obviously, staffing is going to... I mean, that's paying people's where most of your money goes.
I would have to think that the budget's going to have to come down somewhere to about $16 million. With the way the investments are and the way the revenues look for next year, it's going to have to come somewhere... It's going to have to be somewhere in the $16 million range.
I think they should strive for a balanced budget at this point.
I don't think they can cut that much. I think it would be impossible.
I mean, it'd be rough.
I don't know. I think the big question is, where did the money go? I think that's a big issue. But I don't know where the money went. Do you buy the whole idea that Scherzer left bills unpaid? And that's where a lot of this money has gone?
I mean, I'm sure he had, like, bonds and stuff, but I don't know that he left them unpaid. I mean, they probably just weren't finished being paid, if anything. I don't think that they just didn't pay the bond.
Well, as I've said, I don't think Mayor Collins is wrong here. He came in with an aggressive agenda. I just don't know if I would have came in with such an aggressive agenda if I did not know what the city's finances were. But he had to know somewhat what the revenues were. If you would just look at last year's revenues, you're going to know about what your revenues are going to be, give or take.
Yeah.
So when this comes back to the auditor, that we didn't know what the revenues were, well, I don't think that's a very good excuse.
I mean, I figure... If you don't know what the revenues are, I don't know why you're spending so much money.
No, I'm just saying, it's not hard to see what the revenues were for last year. That number is not hard to come by.
Yeah.
So when you say that the auditor cannot give you the projected revenues for the upcoming year, I don't know that there's all that big a significant change in them.
No, it's probably like, you know... Yeah.
Right. So again, that's why I did not understand why would the mayor present a budget with 6 weeks left in the year that is nearly $6 million over the city's revenues.
I mean, I don't know. I guess that there was, I don't know, a thought that there was carryover for it.
Okay, well, that morning... The mayor's on the Treasury Investment Board. He was there when $2 million was divested out of the investments. Why would he still bring that budget to council?
Well, again, I mean, I don't... I'm, I mean, I don't know. It was done, I guess.
You know, this is one of those things.
Turn it down.
We've had this conversation on the program before. You know, let's forget the past. Let's not do the blame game anymore. Well, here's one of the reasons you do the blame game. Because don't you think it would be good to know who knew that the fire station had been put on hold? Who knew that there were less police and firefighters on the ground at the end of the year than the beginning of the year? Who knew that that investment board meeting was happening that morning? Don't you think it would be good to know these things? Who knew on city council? Who knew in that box that those things were going on? Because I think it'd be good to know who knew. Go ahead, caller.
Quit your just babbling there, Scott, for pity's sakes.
I know.
Anyway, I'm going to leave a little project in your care. I ain't planning on dying, but I guess nobody does. But if you're still here next July, why don't you bring up that they have to look at the budget in July, not November, and figure out how they're going to get out of that situation? And do they, I got to ask you another little simple thing, do they every, at least once a month, give the council a spreadsheet of their expenses and their balances?
I do not believe so.
Well, that would be like me just writing checks and all of a sudden, holy shit, I don't have no money.
Well, I think that's been one of the and again, maybe that's why this has been a week-long conversation. And you know what? Being a local radio station and covering local government, I'm glad that we've had this conversation all week. We may have this conversation longer because we have to know how this happened.
We have to know because someone was negligent and didn't keep an eye last July on where they stood. I would think that they would have to, in July would give them time to get a Band-Aid on it. But November's not a good time.
Well, no, and I still cannot, and as I was saying when you were calling in, I think the question, Monday night's a full city council meeting. Everybody in the box will be there. Everybody on council will be there. I think we need to know, who knew that the fire station had been put on hold? Who knew that there were less police and firefighters on the ground? Who knew?
That's right, Scott, but it was the council people's position to know that. Not, you know, that he could... That would be if you had a husband that was just spending money like crazy, and then the wife had to try to sort it all out come tax time. Well, it's too late in November to try to figure it out. Why didn't they do this last July? Then they had 6 months to figure it out.
Well,
let's forget about we're being big shots. We're on the council. Your money still comes and goes just the same as home in your home. Now, I don't know all those people sitting on council, how their books are. I'm sure it's fine. But when you start not telling the full truth, then it's hard to retract your lies.
Well, and yes, the mayor should absolutely be accountable to city council. That's the checks and balances of government.
The city council is responsible to me.
That's true. That's true. And
so why didn't they last July, when everybody was a little upset about the picnic, and I believe I called and said, where are they getting the money for this? Or when they were going to give money to SNAP. And I don't know if that's ever taken place. It was just big talk.
Well,
but the bottom line is, you can't wait till the damn horse is out and then go lock the door.
Well, you've just cited two examples that I can't understand. Now, as far as the party in the park goes, I get what they were trying to do. What shocked me was, there was not one question asked by council in a vote where only one council member voted against giving that money, Jason Schauber, and even in that, not one question went to the mayor, where's this money coming from, what's this money going to be spent on. There wasn't one bit of discussion in that $10,000 spending moment. Now, my guess is the reason there wasn't is because you don't want to look unpopular, because it's the strongest town party and the mayor wants to throw this party and you don't want to be the wet blanket that says, well, do we have the money to do it? Now, as far as the SNAP benefits thing, that money has not been disbursed, I don't think. But this is also a big question, because City Council, I assume that's going to be on the agenda Monday, because it was proposed by the mayor that all that money go to Salvation Army last week. So,
but there again, I think he was saying that because Salvation Army would be able to disperse it because they would know where the problems were. He didn't say just to give it to the Salvation Army, period.
Right, but
kind of with stipulations of, you know, they know where, but I would hope to God you did. That's an excuse, really, because...
Well, but, yes, and that's why...
I wish, Scott, I would have called in last July and says, okay, what's going on with the fire department? And maybe we would have shook it up then.
Well, yeah.
We had time to say, okay, we're not buying this, we're not doing it, no, we don't have the money, we don't have the money. And I think probably I called in and said, where'd they get the money for this?
Well, and here's the thing about this SNAP thing on Monday. I don't know why, and I think I did say this when they passed this a couple weeks ago, why did council put no guts in that legislation? Why did they not say, Mayor, you need to send the funds here, 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 and here? Well, you know what? It's coming back to council for whatever reason. I'm not even sure how this legislation has taken form. So Monday night, they do have a chance to do that. They can amend that legislation. So we'll see what happens. Now, has the mayor already sent the money to the Salvation Army? I don't know. I doubt it.
Probably not. That's pretty quick turnaround there. Usually it takes 3 or 4 or 5 months for anything to happen.
Right. So we'll see what happens Monday night with that. But, you know, I just wish that more thought was put into things like these, because, you know, if the treasurer or auditor did something like that, my God, they'd be reaming them for 2 hours at a city council meeting.
Well, and like I said, it's because you got a bunch of freshmen council people, and I don't know how many of them council people even came before they were elected, even come and sit in a meeting. Of course, I go sit. I can't hear it anyway, but I'm just saying, you know, we need two things. We need to do is how we rotate the offices. You can't clean the whole house and bring in a bunch of new people, and you've got a new mayor. He's just getting his feet wet too, and he wants to look good, and so he is. But don't wait until the tax man's hammering on your door and saying, well, you know, we got a problem here. No,
well,
we had a problem last June.
Well, and here's the question I want to ask. Okay, last full council meeting, so less than 2 weeks ago, the mayor was still pushing for the economic development director position to be funded. $80,000 a year on the city's behalf. Now,
he couldn't do it if the council voted against it.
Right, but now, here's the question. If the mayor had come to council any time prior to that, because I would bet dollars to donuts that when he was making that plea for that position, he knew that firefighter positions had not been filled. He knew that police officer positions had not been filled and were not going to be filled. He knew the fire station was on hold, because that came after the letter to the auditor, the auditor of state. So do you think if he would have brought those things up prior to that vote, that council would have passed that?
Probably.
You think they would have just went ahead and said, listen.
There's a lot of stuff that did come up that it would come before the council and maybe two people or one people would vote against it, knowing good well they were in the red, the checkbook. They didn't have the money to spend. It would be like a husband and a wife. The husband just spent money like he had it, and the wife had to keep her hands on the purse strings. And it's not fun to be that person.
Well, but, I mean, you know, even in that husband and wife scenario, how many times have we had, you know, the husband's going to make the house, the mortgage payment, and the wife has went out and bought all these dresses, but she hasn't told the husband that she spent the money. And then he goes to spend the money, and it's not there.
Well, okay, who's irresponsible?
Well, I think the wife should tell if she's out buying dresses and shoes.
No, he should look at the damn checkbook.
Well, that's true.
Before tax time.
Well, but I don't think... here it comes back to another... See, this is an onion with many layers. We now have a new position for the last 2 years called a budget director. Now, the budget director, we just had a big kerfluffle because Jason Schauber, a Third Ward City Council member, was asking for information from the budget director, and she would not respond to him.
See, like I say, when people's hiding stuff, they just don't say anything, hoping that the wind will blow it away. But that's when, and who's going to do it once Jason's gone?
Well, that's my... I mean, when that happened, why wasn't there more of an uproar about that? Jason...
It's your job, but by the same token, it's their job. And since it's such a mess, then everybody doesn't get paid for a month. Just like... But just don't get rid of the trash people and the firemen, because I need them.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know what I thought about last night, and by the way, you're bringing up another question that hasn't even been addressed this week, is the Enterprise Fund, which is the fund that's supposed to take care of itself, is also negative somehow. Nobody understands that. That's right, and that is the trash collector's fund. And nobody quite understands that one. So...
By the same token, for the poor train, what better time of the year to get laid off?
Well,
in the middle of the winter.
You know what I thought last night, and I am not a politician, and I am not on city council, but I thought, why doesn't city council, because you're saying it's their fault, and I'm not disagreeing with you, why don't they take the power away from the mayor in this regard? Because I think they can do this. Why don't they say, budget director, you may be hired by the mayor, but you need to answer to us. Because the auditor does, the treasurer does. Now, why can't they make this budget director, the service director, and the safety director? You need to answer to us. You do not answer to the mayor, because that's one of the problems. I think the budget director believes that the mayor is her boss, and maybe he is, by the way it's set up right now. And she doesn't have to answer to city council. Well, if city council passed an ordinance saying, you are the budget director, we created that position, the mayor can hire and fire you, but you answer to us. Because there's a big question about this economic developer position. Who does that person answer to? Do they answer to the mayor or do they answer to the council?
Well, all I can say is if they'd had a review of their budget last July, they had time to clean up some of these messes. And you can't wait until the tax man's banging on the door and says, oh, God, we got a problem.
Well, one of the many problems we're talking about here this morning is who do these people answer to? Because, you know, I have heard this term, and people don't think this is a big deal, but when they go, it was the previous administration, not this one. Well, who are you talking about? Because if council's a part of the administration, then we got a problem.
Well, and like I say, all those council people and the mayor was green. The only ones that really was kind of on top of was Jason and Ann Ayers, because they'd been there since, however long. But don't go waiting until the tax man's banging on your door and say, oh, we got a problem.
Well, I guess...
Do it last July.
Well, and I guess maybe one of the questions I have for you is, if you have a budget director, that is the title, don't you think that person should have went to the mayor or to the council and said, we got problems here?
So what does the budget director do? Obviously, she's not, she, he, or whatever, is not doing their job, or they wouldn't be with the budget director were in a mess like this.
Well, and that's an interesting question, because you know what? I've never heard anybody say to the budget director, what is your job? Who do you answer to? I mean, are you sending us information? I mean, where?
But I would think that every, at least once a month, they would get the council guys would get a readout of exactly where their money was.
Well,
like I say, you can't wait till the tax man's banging on your door to try to fix it.
Well, and let me say this. Do you remember a few, maybe a month or two ago, when they wanted to raise the fares at transit, and that was something that the mayor could do. That was something that transit could do. And council took that out of the hands of the mayor and the transit department and put it in their hands. They said, it has to go through us. Well, why can't they do that with the budget director?
Well, apparently the budget director is not doing their job, or there wouldn't be a mess. But there's no reason why. I mean, do you just look at your budget or what you got in the bank once the bank calls and says you're overdrawn?
Well, one of the you're making perfect sense, and you're right. But one of the problems going on right now is that if you just watch the personalities up there, the finance committee has no trouble yelling at the auditor and the treasurer. Have you ever heard them speak ill of the budget director? Never. Now, why is that? They're all three dealing in the city's finances. So why will they speak ill to two, but they won't speak ill of one? Now, the reason is, if you peel that onion back, is because the two, they feel, are not on the team. The one is on the mayor's team, so they're certainly not going to speak ill of that person. And that's the problem.
There shouldn't be no doggone team. You should be there, and you're responsible when you took that job. And instead of taking the money away and getting rid of firemen and trash people, have everybody that's on council and everyone sitting in the peanut gallery forfeit their pay for next month.
Well, there you go. And people have suggested that. And I think, you know what? If you're going to cut firefighters, you're going to cut police officers, and God forbid, you're going to cut transportation workers or sanitation people, if you don't take a pay cut yourself, give back some of your salary, there's a problem.
Well, that's and at least, my God, Scott Schertzer got where everybody was, I mean, that made him look good, giving everybody a raise.
Yeah.
What shape would they be in right now if that would have happened?
Well, and I hate to say this because I'm not trying to be, you know, unfair here, but, you know, the person who got very angry at that meeting when that raise did not go through was Mayor Collins.
Well, all I can say is I'm not by no means smart, but I think they ought to shift a little common sense in, and if they take care of their finances at home like they're taking with my money, there'll be a lot of foreclosures, won't there?
There could be. There could be.
Hey, Scott, so much. Keep on keeping on. Hey, we'll just like chuckle.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
I think that lady's got a lot of brains out there. I think she knows exactly what's going on. And again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Don't you think that's a big problem of what's going on here, the personalities down there? I can hear almost the tone of voice, the way that the finance committee talks to the treasurer and the auditor versus the budget director. The whole tone of voice is different.
Yeah, I mean, There is that, yes.
Go ahead, caller.
Ditto. That woman that, I guess she's a regular, she's awesome. She's got common sense, and that's what a lot of people lack today. And it's refreshing to hear her perspective.
She's a great lady. And she's the one. She's the one, because of her doggedness about the fire department, got that question answered on Monday.
Well, I just got a response back from Dictal about what I sent you. Did you get a chance to check your email?
I haven't yet. I've been running around here this morning.
Well, I sent to all council. Would you please tell me what it costs to run the city every month?
Oh, what'd Dictal say?
Well, Dictal said, I believe that is a question for the auditor. I would like that information as well.
No, I think that's a question for the budget director.
My response was, then perhaps you should press the issue.
No, see, here's the thing. Now let's take that question. How much money does it cost to run the city each month? Now, when you have a budget director, wouldn't that be for the budget director, not the auditor?
You would certainly think so, because they're in charge of budgets, and hey, it looks like you're over 100 here. Be careful, we can cover it this time, but no more, you know? And say, look, you're out of bounds, etc.
Well, here we are. Auditor pays the bills.
Essentially, it seems like the budget director would be the financial traffic cop, you know?
I agree. Hey, so, thanks.
To a better tomorrow.
Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. I do think they've got to do something with this money, though, on Monday. I didn't hear a whole... there was a lot of talk about a lot of things Monday. All that money going to the Salvation Army, not that there's anything wrong with the Salvation Army, but I don't think that was the initial intention of that money.
If the Salvation Army divvies it up how it's in theory supposed to be divvied up, then I guess it's okay.
Well, again, you don't. Once it's gone, you don't have that shot.
I understand.
So, why would you not send it to the groups that you want to send it to?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
when did the Salvation Army become a clearinghouse for the city?
I don't know. The reasoning the mayor gave, to my recollection, was just that, you know, they understand where the, like, basically they understand where the needs are in Marion, and that they're gonna distribute
them. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. I don't know.
I also don't know, but I don't know. I'm not. That's an interesting kind of way to handle the whole thing, I thought.
Well, go ahead, caller.
You know, it's great to want to give that money to some entity, but isn't the most important question is, do we have that money to give?
Well, I'll say this. Listen, I understand the financial problems of Marion, but if you pull that money back now, the repercussions of that would be extreme, especially since you don't even know if you've cut the economic development position, which is an $80,000 a year salary. The budget directors, I'm not sure what their salary is. I think it's in the neighborhood of $80,000. You are doing these things, and we're talking about a one-time payout of 25,000 people to charity. I think
$25,000.
What's that?
$25,000. You said 25,000 people.
Yeah, $25,000. I think that would go over like a terrible lead balloon. I just think that's a horse I don't think you can put back in the barn. Now, you can fix some of these other problems, but I don't know if that's one you want to...
Just think how it would look. You get a check from the city for $25,000 and it bounces. Or the city gives that money, only digging the city further in... Oh. To economic chaos.
And by the way, I think I should mention, I do believe this is coming from the opioid money. So that's money that has to be spent for a specific purpose anyway. I don't believe that's coming out of the city's general fund.
Well, that would be a damn good way to spend that money then.
Yeah, and I believe I read the ordinance Monday that the mayor proposed, and I do believe it did say opioid funds.
In that case, that's good. That's wonderful.
Yeah, but I think
go ahead.
Yeah, I think maybe sending it to a few different groups might be more prudent, but we'll find out Monday.
Yeah, we've got so many good organizations in town, it makes it really difficult. Maybe a lottery. You split 5,000 amongst five, and you draw names out of a hat or something.
Well, know? Like I say, I don't live in the city, but I'm going to continue to promote the homeless shelter. Last night, when I was going to Harding for that event for Mary Ellen, there's a homeless person standing in the dark at the stop sign at Walmart, and it was not a good night last night. It was raining, it was cold, it was nasty, and these people do have to leave, and the homeless shelter on Fairground put out a note earlier this week talking about their needs and how during the day they've got to send these people away when they claim the building, and that when there's no heat there's a problem, and wouldn't it be great if they could do something with that? Could they find a place for these people to go that is permanent? You know, $25,000 doesn't go a long way, but it could certainly fix that problem to some degree if you worked with the homeless shelter.
Well, isn't there a church where Jobs and Family Services used to be on North Main Street at Farming in North Main? Isn't that church vacated?
I don't know.
It seems that, hey, there's a fairly good-sized building there. Whoever the owner is, hey, let's get a wonderful tax break by setting up a soup kitchen, setting up something for the homeless, and then that way social services could visit, re-educate, train, etc., like that.
Well, so, we'll see. Thank you.
Do it better tomorrow.
Phone line, and don't make any mistake. Listen, when the radio station was in the mall, I saw those people from the homeless shelter come in there in the winter almost every day to get warm. There are kids, young kids, at that homeless shelter. And you know what? That's a big deal.
Yeah, I agree.
So drive through that Walmart parking lot. Drive through that whatever it is, Save-A-Lot parking lot. No, what's the place over there? What's the other one? Office Depot and Gordon, right?
Oh, yeah, GFS.
Yeah, drive through that and see the homeless people who are out there at 7, 8 o'clock at night in the rain. You know, is this what we want? 740-383-9944. Something, you've set aside this $25,000. You could do something really good with it. And if it's coming from the opioid fund, you know, it's a specific purpose anyway.
Yeah, opioid fund.
So, you know, there we are.
I think $25,000 would certainly go a long way in helping the homeless shelter.
Oh, I certainly think it would. Certainly think it would. So, you know, let's hope something comes of it. What else do we got going on here? Well, how do you think this is all going to spin out?
As far as?
Monday night. It is the mayor's decision. I mean, maybe he'll be able to come back with a budget that's more in tune with things.
I mean, I don't know. I think they're probably going to present the same budget and just try to trim that one down.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's going to be the same budget, but you've got to cut a lot of money out of that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I think that's what I think a lot of the Monday meeting's going to be about, probably. Trying to figure out what to do about that.
Well, you don't think they've done it this week? I mean, I would have to imagine that there have been meetings that have been going on.
Oh, I mean, I assume there've been, you know, conversations and the like.
You know, what can we cut? What can't we cut?
Yeah.
So I hope that's what has happened. And you know, maybe the mayor can do it. Maybe he can get with the budget director and they can cut this thing down.
I mean, that'd be the best scenario there.
Well, I think that's leadership. And he may have it. I don't think he's been tested to this point so far. I mean, he's only been there a year and a half. This may be his first test of leadership, and maybe he'll pass with flying colors.
He could.
Which I think would be good for everybody in the city.
Yeah.
By the way, phone lines are open. We love hearing from you. 47, 48 minutes past the hour here, Getaway Friday. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. We can talk about anything on your mind. And this certainly has been the topic du jour of the week. So there you are. And did have a lot of fun yesterday at Primrose at their tailgate party with Buckeye Guy and the residents out there. So I thank them for inviting me to that. And also the event at Harding last night with Mary Ellen, having the room named in her honor and the plaque put up and all the stuff that went along with that. Good day.
Yeah, I think so. I think yesterday went well.
Well, we have to remember there still is a lot of good stuff going on in Marion.
Usually is.
Yeah. I mean, there's always still good stuff going on amongst some of the bad.
I mean, the library's always got stuff going on, too.
The library, yes. And the college keeps on ticking along.
Yep.
And the schools keep on
both
ticking along.
Both colleges, actually. There's two of them here.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't... And the dorms. The dorms are full.
Yep.
And the kids are over there, and that's a good positive thing. You know, what goes on at the rec center? It's a place where kids go after school to hang out and do homework and things like that, right?
That's my understanding. I'm not sure what they have at the rec center. I've never been to the rec center.
I mean, that's a nice thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's always good to to have something to do.
Well, I mean, that's a nice thing to do, I think.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, like I said. Well, gives kids something to do other than, you know, run around.
So kind of back to where we started here. What does, in your opinion, the budget director do? Well, what impression have you been given as to what they do?
It seems like they don't do anything but look at numbers. I mean, that's about it. They don't really have any answers that the auditor's office, you know, doesn't have. So, I don't really know what the budget director does.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott. My two cents. I think this administration missed an opportunity 2 years ago when they came in to say that you had a prior administration that held office for, I think, 16 years, and here's where we're at. Here's the state of the city. And they could have laid it all out. They could have said, you know, here's where the mistakes were made. Here's where any silent sabotage was. Here's where, you know, processes needed fixed or need fixed. And here's what we're going to do about it. And here's how we're going to move forward. But I think we live today in a fake it to make it world, in a fake book world. And I think this administration came in and decided to put an Earl Scheib paint job on a piggy. I don't know if anybody remembers Earl Scheib, but you used to be able to get a $99 paint job and be done in a few hours, and then you could sell that vehicle to some poor slob. And, you know, it looked good, but it was full of putty, and it was all bonded together and this, that, and the other. So, I mean... I just wish they would have came in and said, you know, we want to blame in this society, so they could have blamed 16 years on somebody. But instead, they said, well, here, we're going to put makeup on a piggy. And yeah, I'm not trying to say Marion. I love Marion. I'm here. I live here, lived here my whole life. I'm not calling it a piggy or a shithole, but we have to face reality. We have to face the reality of our finances, of the state of the properties in Marion, of the addiction problems and issues that we have. You know, we just can't keep covering everything up.
Well, if I know it's a big question, but where we are today with this budget, that's where we are going into Monday night. How do you think this happened, and what do you think should be cut? What needs to happen?
How do I think this happened?
Yeah.
I mean, it happened because people ignored the truth. I mean, you can't tell me, honestly, you can't tell me that they didn't know.
My question to me,
I'm always like, you know, cut administrative. We need people in the streets. We need people that do the services, and that's what they'll cut. They'll end up cutting, you know, the pool, or they'll cut, you know, the feel good stuff that they wanted to put out there. But they're tough decisions, and I think as a leader, I think we have leaders that run on, we're going to do it better than the other person or the last person. But then they get in there and say, you know, when they get caught not doing it better, it's like, well, what about them and what about this and what about, I'm just the average guy. People say to me all the time, you're pretty critical of leadership, Phil. Why, if you think it's so easy, why don't you go do it? Because I don't think it's easy, and I'm just the average guy. Leaders are supposed to be above the mix. They're supposed to be, as I said, they run on, we're going to do it better, and you know what, people, I'm going to lead this fight for you. But then when they don't perform, then they're just the average person. Oh, come on, why are you picking on me? Why, you know, well, you don't have the right. Well, look at your finances. I'm just the average person. I didn't run on, I'm a leader. I didn't run on, I'm going to fix my town.
Well, and do you believe there is a huge communication problem here between some members of council and others and the administration and budget director and some of these positions?
Absolutely. I think people play to the audience instead of doing their job. I think a lot of people vote based on, I mean, I think there's votes where I know there are votes that if there hadn't been people in the gallery that night doing the ball game chatters, as you say, I think votes would have gone the other way. I think the bus fee increase was one of them. So, and that's not what leaders are supposed to do. They're supposed to lead and make decisions on what is right or wrong and what is in the best interest of the constituent or of the city or whatever the group that they are representing.
Yeah, I think a lot of people feel the same way, and I think one of the problems here is it almost feels like there are teams. You know, when people say the administration, I'm part of the administration, the last administration was the fault, who is the administration? I mean, is the council part of the administration? Is the budget director? Who do these people answer to? What's going on with that?
It seems to be confusion for sure. I wholly believe, and I think I know, or my understanding is that city council is the voice of the people. City council is representing their constituents. They are supposed to liaison with the administration, and they're supposed to work with, as in let's find commonality. Let's get things done. When I see council people glancing over at the mayor or glancing at certain people before they, you can see them hedging their conversation or their questions because they don't want to rock the boat or they don't want to be a team player. You're not on that team. The only team you're on is whether you're an R or a D or an I. But you're supposed to be team, as a council person, you're supposed to be team constituent.
Well,
now if you happen to be on the same party, then that supposedly should work with getting shit done. but it shouldn't be, well, I'm going to say this, but maybe, oh, wait a minute, I'm going to glance over at the mayor and, like, see, well, is he going to get frowned on me because I bring this forth? You need to say what you need. That's why I respect Aaron Rollins. Aaron Rollins has bucked the shit. I think Thaddeus Smith, I think he has, Ratliff, Schauber. I mean, Twyla has, she has bucked the system too. But I think, you know, again, do and lead by what's right and wrong, not who you're playing to.
Well, we're certainly going to find out now, and we're certainly going to find out Monday night, because if council doesn't have a ton of questions for the mayor and the budget director, then there's something wrong with the current position we're in.
Well, absolutely. I mean, again, how do you come up with, you know, you go from a few weeks ago, a few months ago, you know, we're trying to pass a charter, and there was just a vote, and thank God it didn't pass, not because I'm against it, but because we would have been, I mean, wouldn't the city have been on the hook for all the finances associated with continuing on with that charter? And I don't buy that Mike Neff didn't have a clue what was going on with the finances behind the scene when he left. And he, you know, emergency sessions to push this charter through. And I don't buy that. I don't buy that the mayor didn't know. I mean, if he didn't know, honestly, he may not have known down to the penny what the finances were. But, I mean, if he was oblivious and his budget directors were oblivious to the actual status of the finances, then that's very, very concerning.
I think you're right, and I think a lot of people are asking those questions. Hey, thanks for calling.
All right, bud. Have a good day.
All right, phone lines remain open. You'll want to listen today at noon, too, by the way. I think we're going to have a guest with us at noon who is probably going to have some questions and answers and shed some light on this whole topic we've been talking about this morning, the city's finances. So a lot of stuff going on there.
That'll be good.
Yep. We'll take one more call, and then we're going to go to break here on WGH Talk. Go ahead. We got 30 seconds.
Love Earl Scheid. I just got an email back from the question, would you please tell me what it costs to run the city every month? Jason Schauber wrote back, don't quote me to the penny. I recall hearing salaries and benefits are $800,000 per pay period. I have no clue on other expenses total. Salaries are a constant.
There we go, and we'll continue on. Thanks for calling. We'll be back right after this.
Sins and 227, Marla Gibbs.
Where did the name Marla come from? It's so unique.
I made it up.
Really?